Once again, as we stated earlier, it is a pleasure to be hearing Elder Paul Price. We heard the first half of this message last week, Watermelon Faith. We're going to continue to hear part two. And we're going to go ahead and begin now with Elder Paul Price on Watermelon Faith, Part 2.
Hold this up once more. I want to see this person right here.
Huh?
Hold this up right here.
What you mean?
Let me tell you something. That little fella's going to make sure you'll never get rid of him. To make sure, he said, I'm going to plant about 1,000 seeds in every one of them. There's one right there. That little seed takes off from that melon by itself and said, I'm testifying, I can do it again. 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 I can do it again! Hallelujah, brother! It can reproduce itself. Bless the Lord. I believe foreign missions, it'll work over there. It's the same kind of seed. It might have been grown in Indonesia. But that same seed over there says to you, just give me a chance and I'll win 1,000 Indonesians. It can be done. The Holy Ghost said, if you've got that kind of faith, you can reach the world. You can reach the world. That's the kind of faith we've got to have, my friend. Not only my backyard, I've got to reach. I've got to get the whole world full of watermelons just like this everywhere. This apostolic gospel message must be preached to all the world. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord! That watermelon seed says to all of us, I believe God. If you'll cooperate with God's laws, you can do it too. That little seed didn't complain about dying. I can go back to the end of where I planted and try to see where it originated. My friend, your name will be lost in the dust. Flesh will not be glorified. I might dig around the earth and try to find the beginner, the founder, and you won't find a sign of it. Forget it. We have no founder but Jesus Christ. He's our only one that's our founder. There is something about that seed that says, if you've got that kind of faith, you can move mountains. He said that little tiny bit of faith that's wrapped up into here can move a mountain. I don't know how you did it. I can't explain you. You was put in the earth. You took old black soil, dirty soil, and you transposed it into the sweetest and juiciest, tastiest melons. You took from the earth all the vitamins and minerals, and somehow you transposed those, and they went through the vine, went through all the little old small vine the size of my finger, and made melons this size. I don't know how you did it. Can you explain how you did it? Quit worrying about how you do it, and just go ahead and obey and do it. There's no answer on the how. We worry about how God does something. We ought to believe that He does something. It's not the how. It's He that says, let it be light, and there is light. It's He that says, bringing out of darkness, He brings light. It's because He said, that's all I need to know. I don't know why we're spending millions on trying to find out where this world began and trying to get men up there to explore all the secrets of the universe. The first chapter of Genesis would satisfy any watermelon seed that this earth began when God said it did. That's all it takes, is that kind of faith. United Pentecostal Church, you're that seed. If you want this to work, there's got to be the combination of what this word said right here. The Lord said, if you'd cooperate as this seed did, we will move mountains. Now what happens to us? We regulate our faith and our activities by each other. We think
that we can't be any bigger than we are because of these four walls. We think we'll not be heard by the world. We think that we're a little nobody. Well, that's true enough. But we know a somebody. We know a reality. We know God. And that makes the difference. While we leave the watermelon patch, I want to go on over there to the book of Judges. Israel. Every year they planted their crops. And lo and behold, these Midianites would come sweeping down after they'd worked hard all year long, got a harvest, and they'd go out there and rake it in and take it back home while Israel was up there in the dens and the cave and the mountain hiding. Well, you ought to lose them all if you got no more faith than that. But they ran. Who's running? The sons of Joshua, the sons of Caleb, the sons of faith. In days gone by, have now gone to sons of unbelief. And those Midianites would arrive, they'd run for those hiding places and sneak in the coves and hold themselves up in there. You know why they call them caves and dens and strongholds? Because some folks had a little faith and they worked real hard out in the fields and they ran real fast back to a cave, a temporary safety. But some folks didn't have that kind of faith, and they fixed it up real comfortable so they wouldn't be too uncomfortable, and they made a den out of it. And they lived in that state of mind. You can live in your unbelief and never venture out two steps. We've come to a state in our lives just like with this man Joshua, Gideon. He was out there by the wine press, and there he stoop down behind the press and try to take care of a little bit of grain, lest while he begin to blow out the husk, it might go up over the mountain and the enemy might see him getting a little bit of grain. Let's try to pray somebody through the Holy Ghost. Close the windows, lock the doors, let the world know what we're doing in here. Let's keep it real careful because you know you've got to be very careful about this today. When you keep this locked up inside the church house, it'll never spread to the world. I believe that there's something about these people and their attitude. They believe that their forefathers went through the Red Sea. They believe every story in the Old Testament about their forefathers. And they could tell you all about it and rejoice and shout about it. But every time they heard those Midianites coming, they made a beeline to a cave and to a den up in the mountains. But God come by, and he found this fellow behind the wine press. He was afraid. And there he sat, very carefully taking care of this. Timid. And the angel of the Lord slipped up on him and watched him. He'd work and he'd look. Just to get enough to exist. And sometimes we live in our churches with the same congregation never adding to it.
That's right. Yeah.
And the angel of the Lord stood over him and watched him and saw him laboring. And he tapped him on the shoulder, Gideon. And he looked around. He said, thou man of valor. Would you say that again? Thou man of valor. I thought I heard you right. But say it one more time. I am what? You are a man of valor. We can put ourselves down and drive ourselves in the ground and condemn everything that we do and complain about every activity that we're in. But oh, my friend, you are a man of valor. It's time to come up and take your place in this great force of the Lord in these latter days.
Yes.
What's a man of valor doing down here? Because he said, if I am such a man of valor and God is such a great God, he said, why are we in this great distress? And he said, where are the miracles? Have you heard that? Where are the great events of the past? Answer me that. That's unbelief talking. That's unbelief condemning. That's unbelief criticizing and say, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? I've been in Pentecostal services where the Lord blessed in that service, and some folks went out and said it was Desidornail. They wouldn't know anything that moved from heaven unless a great tornado hit right down the middle of them. Jesus said every time you come to that church door, if two or three have come in my name, he said, I am in the midst. I am in the midst. He said, I don't feel anything. He didn't say if you felt it or not. He said, I am there. I'm not was there, will be there. He said, I am there. He got there before you arrived. He said, I am present. And I tell you, we better get our eyes away from the fact that we look for our own little channels of getting our own blessings, and that's the only channel we get blessed in. My friend, let's open up and say, dear God, send me out. Use me any way, every way, but deliver us. That when that brother got up off of his knees and got a little faith in his soul and began to believe what he heard, he had to take two or three testing time to prove that. You know what he did? He said, oh, I feel strong. I really feel vigorous. I want to do something real daring. What are you going to do? I'm going to go up on the hill at nighttime and destroy those idols. I'm going to destroy the whole grove of idols of Baal. You see, when you get filled with the faith of the Holy Ghost, you'll go in there and tackle that thing that you're putting up with. We've heard all kind of preaching around here. They preach from Dan to Beersheba. And they preach against everything I know of but deodorant. But please, brethren, we need that. But somehow, I believe the Holy Ghost wants to arouse us to realize the work is great. It's wonderful. And you've got power to go in and tread upon the lions. I know it isn't easy every time for a pastor to be able to clean everything out of his church at one time. But brother, let's go in and do something at least one at a time anyhow. My heart's been stirred. Lest we let the devil come along and put up idols all over our church, in our church homes, until we are infested with the television question, with the world, with sin, with its evil age, until we lose our touch with the Lord. Oh, that burdened my heart. And I'm not saying it to make you feel that I'm better than you. No, about a thousand times, no. But oh, I see a church that's anemic. It can't go out with much force. It doesn't have the punch. It doesn't have the reckless boldness to step out there. It lacks that fervency.
That's right.
You can talk all you want about how powerful God is. The world wants to see a watermelon once in a while at least. I prayed that God would stir my heart, that I can dig out and dig up in me that which the Holy Ghost convicts. Don't you worry, my friend. Even Job found out he could repent of something. There's none of us has walked so holy and pure and bright that we can walk by and poke our finger in somebody's eye. What we need to say, oh God, humble us all down. Bring revival, Holy Ghost revival, that'll make us move in the power of the Holy Ghost. Before he ever went to the camp of the Midianites, he took care of his home church first. You might as well forget about the world outside if you can't do something with the church on the inside. That book regulates how I live. I'll guarantee you I'm not so spiritual, but what I don't need some bylaws to help me to stay where I am. It doesn't hurt us to have a bylaw. If it says we can't have something we really want, and you say it's no harm in it, then do it for the sake of the rest of them. But let's have revival. I wouldn't want to be in the way of revival for some little item that may be an argument over the thing. Let's get down to business. We are surrounded by the enemy. The Amalekites and the Midianites have got together, and there's 185,000 encamped around our town. And now we can't play with this thing any longer. But let me show you something. This man of faith went out and inspired faith. I can see him going up to the old den of John and said, John! I can hear John said, what? Who's at the door? It's Gideon! Don't talk so loud. Don't you know the enemy's out there? Oh, come on, John. I'll tell you something. Something happened to me down by the wine press the other day. I touched the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. I touched the Holy Ghost. Come on out, John. It's all right. And by the way, John, when you come out, will you bring your sword with you? Broomstick? Bring something with you. What are we going to do? We're going to go and fight those Amalekites and Midianites. How many of you got in the army? Just me and you right now. Come on. We'll get there. We got a lot of caves to knock on the door of. You take that street over there, I'll take this street. And knock on the door till they come to the door, because they're scared on the inside. But tell them the Lord said that we are men of valor. Tell them that we don't have to run any longer. Tell them to come out of the caves and the dens, and let's stand up like men. Let your heart pick up the Word of God. Come on out of there and bring it in the name of Jesus. Well, they kept on going through Israel. They got about 32,000 following. That's more than we had in the whole convention here. Don't tell me his program didn't work. He organized something. He got faith to moving. He got faith to working. He got people to obeying. And the first thing you know, he had 32,000 walking behind him. But the Lord said, I'm only looking for 300. We know good and well we won't get 32,000 to do it. But while we're getting 32,000, we're going to filter out 300. And that 300 is all we need. Amen. Don't get discouraged if we all don't cooperate. Don't get discouraged if we all don't cooperate with Seeds for Christ. The 300 will do it. We'll make it. We always have. We'll do it tomorrow. That 300 will do anything. Gideon took those men down the road, and the first group he got rid of was those with fear. Well, they had that in their system before they left home. And I can see them walking, questioning every step. Why are we going here? What's the reason there? Why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? Dear Lord, go on back home, will you please? We can't fight our battle with folks asking questions. Let's get busy for God. Brother, I tell you, by the time he got that mob together and began to make an army out of them, he thinned them down to where he could work with the people that could take orders right direct from the horse's mouth. Yeah, the water test and all the rest, found it 300. I can see personal workers say, we went out to 32,000 homes and only won 300. That's a pretty good average. It isn't how many homes you went to. Did you get any? If you got one, it was worth going after. Those 300, they were men that stood in their place. There were 300 well organized. While I'm on that, while I was in South America, I observed that the Catholic Church was there longer than anybody else. There's two things that they did. One, they preached their doctrine. Two, they organized. And if we don't go there and preach our doctrine, I mean drill it in deep and hard, and then organize it, there's 1,000 vultures waiting to pick off every convert you convert. Brother, don't tell me we don't need organization. We need it. We need it. Gideon had this thing organized and planned the way God said. You see, it won't be their abilities to do all this fighting. But when you see 300 dedicated men doing the will of God, it'll scare anybody's town. Amen.
If we have 300 anywhere, it'd shake the whole church world. 300 totally dedicated, ready to die, no holds barred, ready to stand out there with a sword, I mean with a little picture, a little light and a sword out here and just say one thing, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Is that all we say? Don't we say some more than that? That's enough. It isn't how much we tell everybody, it's how much the Holy Ghost is in what we tell them. When that signal was given, those 185,000 people were already caught the same spirit that 10,000 did. It went back home. They were all afraid. And so when the Lord gave the signal and they broke those pictures open, the light began to shine, and those fellows hollered from all sides of that mountain up there and said, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Only 300 saying it. It sounds like a multitudes of multitudes and multitudes are saying it. God can multiply our voices and multiply our efforts until we can reach this world. We can reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's one thing for sure. We won't have this until we believe that He's the ever-present, the Almighty, just now, right now, living, vital, powerful, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Do you believe it works? You really believe this works? I want to show you something. There's no need of preaching unless we put it to practice and try it out right here. Every one of you in this service, you may have sickness or afflictions. You may have problems and whatever. But if you can muster up the seed of this little seed tonight, and you can believe that Jesus Christ is right here now. Now. Not tomorrow, not out yonder, not down the road. He's right here now to do what you have need of. If you can believe that when we offer prayer right now, it'll happen. You believe that? Do you really believe that? Sometimes in one of these type of services, it's that one little soul somewhere that goes through that crowd and thinks through and feels through and touches the hem of His garment. There may be 1,000 praying, but there's only that one little soul that goes on through all the rest of them and say, I sure believe that. I believe what He's saying is the truth. I'm going to stand up here and believe God to heal my body. That little woman that went to that little trouble of going through the crowd, she says, I believe in the now Jesus. He's in my town. He's in my congregation. He's in my sight. He's in my arm's reach. He's right now. And when she did, she was healed. Because her faith said, I believe in a now Jesus. Somewhere your faith must say now. Somewhere it must be this instant. Somewhere it must happen this second. It's got to happen just like that. Let's stand. How many here, by raised hand, before I conclude my part of the service, you have a need, and you're going to put God in that need right now. You're going to put watermelon faith in it. You're going to believe God now. You're going to really believe the Holy Ghost, the Word of God. Jesus, touch every heart, every hand that's raised. Oh, God, let their faith reach out and touch the hem of your garment. Heal now for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, make yourself known by your power and by your spirit. Breathe faith in every heart tonight. Believe God. Receive it now in Jesus' name.
That want to be prayed for. And we've had a marvelous message on faith. God has spoken to us in a great way, in an unusual way. And there are people that desire to be prayed for. Sick in body, maybe some other need that they have. I'd like for our ministers to gather. Let's form two lines down here. And you that want to be prayed for, would you come and let them pass between the ministers. Lay hands on them as they go. And believe God. Thank God. Believe that God will do the work. Praise the Lord. Brethren, will you come? Praise the Lord. Let's have some music and we'll have a good old-fashioned faith service here. Thank God that God will touch hearts and God will touch bodies and God will do just what we need right here and now. Praise the Lord. Just form a double line, maybe two lines on this side, two over here, and you folks that want to be prayed for, you come. Praise the Lord. All right, give us some music.
Praise the Lord, everyone. What a message we heard, a tremendous message of faith from Elder Paul Price. Tonight we heard everything, including the altar call. But you know what I want to focus on right now, church, is this. We've heard many things about Elder Paul Price, the ministry of Elder Paul Price. And once again, you saw many things come to the forefront tonight. And that is the faith, the anointing, the zeal that Brother Paul Price is preaching with. And we understand why it was such a successful ministry. As he was preaching tonight, he talked about faith that moves mountains. And when he said it, it was believable, church. Everything that this man said, he spoke with faith. He said that if we're having a problem, I'm sorry about that. He didn't say that. I said this. Brother Vic made this comment here as he was talking about this. And church, I want to say this to everyone. If we're having an issue or a problem in our life, all we got to do is get a hold of this spirit of evangelism, the same spirit that Brother Paul Price has. And that's going to change everything. That's going to change your situation no matter what the problem is. He talked about, are you a man of valor? Are you a man of valor? Well, church, I want to tell everyone at Truth Church, you are a man of valor and you are a woman of valor and a young person of valor. Something else that he mentioned was 300 well-trained people, 300 well-organized people. Well, church, we have less than 300 at this point, but if we can be well-trained and listen to the voice of our pastor, we're going to have the same type of success that Brother Paul Price spoke about. Again, what a tremendous message. The last note I wrote here was, I believe in a now Jesus, he said. I believe in a now Jesus. And church, it's the same Jesus from 20 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, it's still the same Jesus. Let's continue to have faith and believe God that this spirit of evangelism is going to take a hold of our church. Praise God. Well, thank you everyone for being on this call. We're going to invite everyone to return to the call tomorrow morning to hear Sister Elisa Terrazas. That's my mom, Brother Vic's mom. We'll be listening to her tomorrow at 10:15 in the morning. With that said, have a great night in Jesus' name. God bless all of you. Amen.